Hello, and thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peek, and I've got a few things I want to talk about this week. First of all, it was a week to catch up on some things that I've not been able to watch, things like Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty is an animated show that's originally on Adult Swim, which I think is through Comedy Network. Don't back me up on that. Don't fact check me on this. I could be completely wrong. But anyway, the show, I kept getting people calling me saying, you got to watch the show. You got to watch the show. You got to watch the show. And I was hesitant, like most people, whenever they are told they should watch something, quote unquote, because it's really messed up and we think you'd like it. So, I guess, life has given me an interesting, perspective and a sense of humor. And so, usually, things that are off the wall, strange, people know that there are friends of mine that, hey, this is for you. So if you're like me, hey, this is for you. Season 7 just got released onto HBO Max. And my plan was to watch an episode in the mornings while my wife was getting ready for work. Typically, I get up before her and I got some time to spend. And I'm like, hey, let's just see what's out there. So Rick and Morty Season 7 just became available. And so this was my plan. I'm going to watch an episode. And that quickly turned into two episodes because when you're watching it with no commercials and you're just watching it play out, the episodes are around 30 minutes when it's on TV because you have commercials. But you've also got intro stuff and you got outro stuff. And when you skip all that, then you're only about 22 minutes worth of show. So you can watch two, maybe three per morning, just depending upon how early you get up and how much time you got to waste. Well, in my opinion, for me personally. So Season 7 was interesting. The story behind the show was that one of the original creators was removed from the show due to personal reasons. There was some allegations of some awful things that he had done. And while the charges of quote unquote felony domestic abuse were subsequently dropped due to a lack of evidence, he was still removed from the show prior to Season 7. They made a decision as a group to remove him from the show. So replacing him is kind of difficult, especially when you're looking at an animated show, because he was a voice of many people. So they did a search, they found people to replace him, and it moved on from there. Now, I watched this season and I couldn't really pick up on a difference in the voices, but also I'm not like an aficionado trying to pick out the differences. I'm not looking at a scale going, oh, no, he rolls his R's here and he does, you know, I'm not one of those people. I really like the show for what it is, which is really, really odd. I'll give you an example. There's a character on the show called Mr. Poopy Butthole. I'm not even making that up. He's just a character. He has a high-pitched voice. And the first episode of Season 7 is called How Poopy Got His Poop Back. All the titles are like based on movies or television shows with a spin on the wording. So anyway, this one is supposed to be him. Mr. Poopy Butthole had a relationship go bad. He's living with the Smiths and he's an alcoholic, and Rick and all of his buddies are also alcoholics, but they're trying to get him cleaned up. So they're taking him to like an intervention, which does not turn out like they planned. And it was kind of a throwaway episode, in my opinion, just something to get the season started. The next was the Jerick Trap. I guess it's supposed to be like the Parent Trap, but this is Jerry is Rick's son-in-law. And they have a disagreement. They decide to, Rick decides that he's going to fix the situation by having them swap places, kind of like the Parent Trap. But in the process, he makes an error and it gets silly from that point on. And then there's episode 3, Air Force Wong. They're called by the president because the entire state of Virginia it's believed that they have started a cult, and under further investigation, they realize that The entire state of Virginia has been controlled by an alien. and it turns out it's an ex-girlfriend of Rick's. It's silly. It's very silly. Okay. The next one, though, episode 4 is called That's a Morte, because Morty's the kid and his grandson. They're eating this spaghetti dinner, and somewhere in the conversation, it comes up, man, this is the best spaghetti I've ever had, blah, 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 blah. He goes, I'll go get some more. And Morty follows him to find out, you know, what the secret recipe is, what he's doing. And it turns out that there's an alien race of people who, when they commit suicide, their insides turn into a delicious spaghetti. So they were eating people. And there's like a suicide awareness warning in the beginning and afterwards. But the episode got really, really, really dark because they go to the planet. They, at the planet, then discover that when people commit suicide, that their insides turn to spaghetti because they didn't know that. And then they start exporting everybody as suicide victims for their delicious spaghetti. It becomes a commodity and they start running out of people. The entire planet starts to unravel and it just gets worse from there. Rick figures out how to stop it. And it's kind of, it's a heart-wrenching episode. As weird and as twisted as the humor is in this, this episode had a lot of heart and it really kind of, I had to pause once I saw this episode. I had to take a few days and not watch this. I was just like, you know, God, I watched the show and it's a cartoon and it's, I know it's on Adult Swim. It's for adults. It's got adult content. And man, this episode just kind of kicked me in the junk. And I just, it took me a while to get over this episode. Yeah, started back up, watched a few episodes. Each one is clever, but the one that really like pulled me out of everything was Rick figuring out how to get to Valhalla. And then the process somehow pisses off the Pope and somehow gets Bigfoot involved. And now the Bigfoot is taken up by the Pope and trained to be an assassin. And it's so silly. It's so silly that I was like, okay, I'm back. I'm like, all of the previous worry that I had from the other episode and the ways it had me kind of sad. This pulled me right out of it because it was so over the top silly. So anyway, hats off to the guys at Rick and Morty, all of the cast, all of the voice actors. There's a lot of celebrities that voice act in this as well. Ice-T, Hugh Jackman, Maria Bamford, lots of people. Susan Sarandon plays a therapist because they need a therapist. Yeah. And you, it's awesome. It's awesome. That's all I got to say. It's awesome. All right. So a friend of mine I grew up with recommended that I watch this on Facebook. It's called Boy Swallows Universe. It's an Australian show. And I did some reading about this. Apparently it's based on a book. This guy wrote a book about his childhood in the 80s, growing up in Brisbane, Australia. He said he felt bad that he wanted to write, and everything that he watched on television or in the movies, none of that seemed to depict what his life was really like. And he said, I grew up in a very rough neighborhood, in a very poor neighborhood, and I just felt like none of life that I'm watching on television looks like my life. So he wrote this book, and from the book they adapted this movie, or this TV show. It's a miniseries. Right away I recognized that one of the main actors was Travis Fimmel. I'm a big Travis Fimmel fan. He was Ragnar on the Viking show. But really the stars of the show are the kids. Right off the bat you're introduced to Felix Cameron playing Eli Bell and his brother Lee Haley playing Gus Bell. Gus and Eli have a very interesting bond between the two of them. As child actors, man, they really were awesome. I mean, just amazing. The first opening scenes, you're introduced to Eli Bell taking driving lessons from a guy named Slim Holiday. And Slim was known as a notorious gangster who was locked up for 25 years. And when he got out, somehow him and Eli became buddies. And it starts off with basically Slim teaching Eli how to drive. And Eli's like maybe, I don't know, 13, 14 in the show. He's pretty young. Too young to be driving. But also, like, Slim Halliday just seems unfazed. He's just like, all right, let's go. And he's... Travis Fimmel, you quickly realize, is his stepdad, and his mom, Frances, she is a recovering heroin addict. You find out pretty quickly that his stepdad is a heroin dealer, and so he's constantly worried about his mom. He's constantly trying to figure out how to be friends with his stepdad, but he's also like still kind of at him about, why are you still dealing drugs when her mom's a heroin addict? And, you know, his brother has a condition where he's mute. In the beginning, he's writing things in the air with his finger, and the brothers understand each other very well. They also have a shared trauma bond from when they were young that you learn about later, which somehow allows them to share dreams. And also the older brother, Gus, can dream about future events. And at times, so can Eli. Things that are going to happen, images pop into their heads about things that are going to happen. So there's a little bit of premonition in this as well. But overall, the story is amazing. Okay. Reading the little blurb here on Google, it says, in a room below his house in 1980s Brisbane, Australia, Eli Bell answers a red telephone and begins a journey that will break his heart before ending it. Yeah. And also the phone's not connected to anything, which you learn. Spoiler alert. I love this show. I loved it. It was beautiful. It's, I don't know. Growing up, my life also did not resemble anything that I watched on television or in movies. And there were a lot of things that I saw with sometimes dangerous people involved around us, where my brother and my sister and I became bonded in a way that I don't think a lot of siblings are. But I think that out of that, we all became stronger for it. My sister and I have. I spoke to my sister for a long time Friday night. Her husband, fella, ex-husband, I don't know what you qualify him as. They were married, then they weren't, then I don't know if they got married or whatever. He died last week. And so it's been a week, and she's having a hard time. And, you know, all of the things you want to say that you can't say, that you need to say, sometimes you just have to let them be, let them speak, listen. Listening is sometimes the most important thing. Sometimes you're not there to help. Sometimes you're just there to be and to understand and to love. And so, yeah. Boy Swallows Universe. Crazy name. But I really, really, really like the show. So thank you, Eddie Bacon. That was an awesome recommendation. Appreciate it. All right. Comedy special on Netflix, Jacqueline Novak. The title of her special is Get on Your Knees. And basically, she looks like she's just your average person. She doesn't get dressed up. She's wearing, like, you know, jeans and a gray t-shirt. And her show is very energized. The camera guys and the guys operating the spotlights were having a hard time keeping up with her because it was almost very performative of her running around the place and doing her comedy show. It is basically an hour and a half of her talking about blowjobs and giving blowjobs and learning about blowjobs and all of the things that a lot of women say and talk about and think about and don't say, and she figures out a way to do it with poetry, and tying it into all of the manic thoughts that people have while they're trying to figure out their own lives and their own bodies and the bodies of their couples and where their place is in it and what they're supposed to do and how manic it can all seem at times because you're trying to learn what you are, what you like, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do, where to draw the line, what, all of it. Like, life is messy. Life is dirty. Life is messy. Life is beautiful and dangerous. And all of it combines together. You know, with every topic that I talk about on this podcast, I realize that all of it is an amalgamation of what life is. I mean, our own bodies are at times a mess. We are a mess. Our minds are a mess. We're scattered. We're trying. We're at times exhausted and sore and in a place where we can't discuss everything that goes on with us. But, you know, again, the one thing I had takeaway from all of this, and I mentioned this to a guy I work with, we were discussing it, and I said, you know, the main tie-in that all of this has for me, this is my boiling it all down to one thing, and that's hope. Hope. Hope that it'll get better. Hope that there's a better way. Hope that things will work out. Hope. In life, if you take it for what it is and you don't have people around you who have positive attitudes and things about them that are going well, you lose hope, right? But with hope, you can accomplish a lot of great things. With hope, you can have a plan. With hope, you can have friends. With hope, things will get better. You got to have hope. So, through all of that, take with it what you will as you're out venturing into your life and trying to do the things that you want to do. And maybe sometimes things don't work out. Maybe try hope. Maybe look at life from the standpoint of hope. You know, there's a saying that only rich people kill themselves. Why is that? Well, I guess when you're rich and everything is at your disposal, everything seems pointless at a certain point, right? You get wrapped up in your own crap about saving the environment and, oh no, I didn't realize this thing I was doing is actually hurting the environment. I thought I was being an advocate for this thing. I hear that a lot now with podcasts. Listened to Whitney Cummings this past week, have a really interesting podcast with Dan Cummins, another comedian who does Time Suck. Then listen to her with Pete Holmes, who has a podcast, You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes. And from it, you know, they discuss the fact that while things are going well for them success-wise, they're also wrapped up in a lot of things that life just hands them that just seems overwhelming at times. And, you know, if you're someone who, I'm not going to name names, but let's just say you're having a tough go of things, all you've got is hope. Either a loss of hope or the hope that things will get better. One of the two things. So, if you're the second, the latter, which most of us are, just know that other people have hope too. And sometimes if you phrase it that way with the people that are around you, you'll find a support system. You'll find people around you that call you once in a while and wish you well and ask if you need help and want to help. Sometimes the help is just listening or recommending a weird TV show or whatever it is. So, last night we were invited to an event. I've had Kelvin Durant, K-E-L-V-I-N, Kelvin, not Kevin, not the basketball guy, Kelvin Durant. He is a counselor, owner, operator of a new U Counseling Center here in Florence, South Carolina. He's been on the podcast several times, episode 208, 271, and then 349 with my mom. Go check those out. Pretty great. Him and his wife, Karen, just celebrated their 5-year anniversary of a new youth counseling center. 5 years. That's pretty cool. 5 years of helping people, owning your own business, trying to venture out and do it all by yourself. And last night, I didn't realize that I became friends with him at the beginning of his starting his new career with his own place, and how scary and challenging that had to be. And I don't know, we just hit it off as friends, just as people. And I'm so proud of him. I told him last night several times, I'm so proud of what you've done. You've done great. So anyway, shout out to Kelvin and Karen. Man, I got a lot of hope for you guys. They're helping people. Kelvin's helping people. And that's what life's all about. So thank you to everybody who listens. Thank you to everybody who subscribed. If you haven't, please give a chance and give me a little thumbs up, or share this with your friends. Tell them that they need hope. Give them hope. Give them a friendship. Give them a phone call. Tell them you're thinking about them. All of that stuff. And till next time, I always say, cue the cow, baby.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.